Morning, folks. I found preparing for this morning actually a bit difficult because part of me wanted to cop out a wee bit with this story. Because those of you that know me a bit better know that I'm not a sharer. I just kind of get on with things. But the temptation was just to pick a few things from the Bible that have inspired me, stick it in a PowerPoint, say something nice round about it, these would all feel good, and then we could move on. But the story that I'm going to share with you this morning isn't all sunshine and roses. There are parts of it that are more difficult and a bit more difficult to share as well. But you don't actually really understand how uplifting something is unless you see both sides of it, do you? You need to understand where people have been and where they've come from to appreciate where they are now and what's changed over that time. I'm sure those of you that are sitting, everybody here could give a good story, but everybody here could also give a story that was difficult as well. And you don't really appreciate things until you see both sides. So that's what we're going to do this morning. We'll see how it goes. If I remember anything from Higher English, which was a long time ago, it was a quote from Romeo and Juliet that says, "Parting is such sweet sorrow." I didn't remember it that well because I had to look up where it came from. But I remember the quote. That's the important bit. I remembered it. But I say that because I'm approaching a time where I'll be packing things up and moving on to a different chapter in my life. And I'll be moving away from a community that I grew up in and that's been good to me. And a church family that I've grown to love and has been good to me as well. I'm moving literally across the country. Like, from the furthest point east in Scotland to the furthest point west in Scotland, and then you get on a ferry, and you go further west until you get to the Outer Hebrides. I remember growing up, it was always the Outer Hebrides or Outer Mongolia. It was like these places that meant the back end of nowhere. Agreed? Yeah. But the point I'm making here is I actually didn't want to go. It came across because God sometimes tells you to go. And that's difficult. Sometimes when we're safe and we're happy and we're comfortable, when God tells you to go, it's actually really difficult, isn't it? So, let's talk about this then. To understand the story properly, we need to go back to 2002. May 2002, I graduated from Edinburgh University. I got allocated a school in Shire. I was going to go to Turriff Academy. And everything was great. The world was at my feet. Here's the thing, though. You know those people who just look totally put together? Those people that are completely on the ball. Everything's organized. They're confident. They know where they're at. They know what they're doing. Those people have exactly the same worries as you. They have exactly the same things. They're just better at hiding it. Some people are really good at hiding that kind of turmoil. You know that swan effect where everything's nice and serene on the surface, and underneath the surface, the legs are going like crazy. I was like that at that point. I don't know why, but I'm telling you just now, I started at Turriff Academy, and I just went to bits. Don't know what it was. There are a number of things that I could link it back to, but at that time, I just got myself lost. Not a lot of people know this because they see this kind of put-together Gordon that walked in the door. But I was lost. And the upshot of it was that I actually left teaching after 2 weeks. 2 weeks in the door, world at my feet. And I walked out and I felt as though I was a failure. So, what do you do? The career that you wanted is there, and you've thrown it away. You're broken yourself. You're a bit lost. But you've got a work ethic, so you need to get a job. So, I worked as security. I worked in a fish factory. I worked various places. I was working night shift in IFC. And then all of a sudden, whoever had come over me at that time started to run out of steam. I started to feel a bit more like myself. Have you ever been through that before? Where something comes over you and you just feel as though you're lost. And then slowly, slowly, you start to come back to yourself. And I knew I was back to myself because all of a sudden I was trawling a website. It's called the Times Educational Supplement. That was where all the jobs used to be. And I went from night shift in the factory and I was coming home and I was sitting on a computer and I found myself looking at these jobs more and more often. And then all of a sudden, this job just came up. And I read the advert and I read it and I read it and I read it and I read it. And it was for a job in Linacliet in Bembecula in Outer Hebrides. And I looked at it and I thought, maybe I could do that. So eventually I applied for it and I was given an interview and then I thought, oops. But what happened was I left Fraser Brown on the 1st of December 2002 at midnight. I drove through the night. I arrived at the ferry port in Uagon Skye. See Andrew laughing because he knows it. I got there and got the ferry across to Lochmaddie in North Uist. And I got the interview. And I went in for an interview and I came out and I sat down. The guy said, just take a seat out in the office. And 45 minutes later, he came out and he says, right, Gordon, we'd like to offer you the job. Oops. Because I thought, well, you'll go for a couple of interviews, Gordon. You'll see how you get on. And then you'll get back into the swing of it. And maybe you'll get a job that you can travel to. So that commute was nowhere near it. That was no idea. But what happened was I was offered a job on the 3rd of December. And by the 7th of December, which is my birthday, hint, hint. By the 7th of December, I was back in the island working. And by the time we got to Christmas, I actually felt as though I'd been reborn again and found my place in the world again. But that's what I said at the start. I'm not going to put up different scriptures on a PowerPoint. But those of you that are sitting here, I hope you can see God's hand on my life at that point. You can see him moving me and affecting me in different ways before I'd really accepted him. That's an incredible thing, isn't it? That God loves you even if you don't necessarily tell him you love him. But so what happened was I settled into life in the island. And the following summer, I returned to the island with a solid school year under my belt. The kids had done well. There was good results. I had a house. I was organized. I'd settled in island life in the routine of not being able to get off the island until you got to holiday times. But in the September of that year, John Morrison, who is principal teacher of PE at Fraser Brown Academy, got in touch and said, look, there's a job here, Gordon. I'd like you to apply for it. And I applied for it and I got it. So the upshot of it was that almost a year after seeing that advert, I'd gone from lost and kind of broken to myself again, back in Fraserburgh with a job. In the course of a year, when I could have dropped off a cliff. You know what I mean? I could have settled into working in a fish factory, and there's nothing wrong with that. Hey, there is nothing wrong with that. Work is work. But for me, I felt as though I'd thrown everything away because I'd envisioned a different path for myself. But a year later, we were good. Start October holidays, I got on the MV Hebrides at Lochmaddie, back to Uig, retraced my steps, and settled back into Fraserburgh. That was me. I left the Hebrides for the last time. Those of you know where I'm going are laughing. But over the years, it's always held a special place for me because it was a place where I put myself back together. And there's a song, there's a pipe tune called The Dark Island, and it always brings a lump to my throat because there's lyrics that go with it as well. And it says this: in the years long gone by when I first left my home, I was young and I wanted the wide world to roam. But now I'm older and wiser, you see, that lovely dark island is calling to me. And that's what's happening now, isn't it? You can see it. You can see the circle. But I came back to Fraserburgh in autumn of 2003, and I continued my journey. I went from PE teacher to head of PE to a faculty head to a deputy head, because I've been there 13 years at Fraserburgh Academy. It's a huge chunk of my life. During that time, I got a house, I got married, I got divorced. That's a different story. But life happens to you, and you're on that journey as you go through it. But many of the people in the hall know this story, but I hope you'll indulge me as I just speak you through it, because you need to understand my journey. I've always spoken to God. I've always felt there was a God. But you know that kind of reserve that you have where you never really want to tip over into that full acceptance of God and that relationship with God? Well, I was lying in my bed one night, and I was going, you know that time of night where you start to question things? When you're lying in your bed, you just start to go through different things. And I remember lying there, and I was thinking, should I go to a church? Or should I just keep going the way things are going? Where I talk to God, it feels like God talks to me, and we get on with things, and that's fine. But should I do that, or should I step out a bit further? Should I walk out into water that's a bit deeper? And I decided that actually things were fine. Things were fine. This is easy enough. We're all right. So I went to sleep that night, and that night I had a dream. And the dream was this. I can still remember it. Absolute clarity. I dreamt that I was walking down a street in a city like New York. It felt somewhere like that, you know, high-rise buildings. And I was with a group of young men, and they were making me go somewhere that I didn't want to go. I was kind of swept along with them. And we went somewhere, and it was like we arrived in amongst these high-rise buildings. It was like a burnt-out playground. Those of you who remember what Jubilee Crescent used to look like, it was a bit like that. But in the middle of this playground, there was a guy, and he was in charge of everybody. And he says, right, you're going to come with us and you're going to do this thing. And the thing was, it was a horrible, it felt as though it was like going to go and kill somebody level of horrible. And I was like, I'm not going, I'm not doing that. But the people with me beat me up and they made me go with them. And I was walking back through the streets to go and do this thing. And you know that way where you just feel kind of powerless and caught up in things? And as I walked along, I says, God, I don't want to do this. And coming the other way was an old man with gray hair and two kids with him. It's pretty specific, but it's true. And he was coming the other way, and he stopped, and he says, did I hear you asking God for help? I says, yeah, I don't want to do this thing. And he says, well, don't. Come with me. And I went with him. And the group that was with me, they were shouting, and they were wailing and gnashing their teeth, but they couldn't do anything because I decided to go with this man who'd said, come with me. And when I woke up that morning, I knew that I had a pretty clear choice. I could dismiss the dream as something, just an overactive imagination or too much cheese. Or I could accept that I had went to sleep with a question and been given an answer. And the fact that I'm here today shows you which one I went with. But that's just part of the story. Over the last 3 years, I've settled into church life. I've been part of this family. I've joined in with different things. And I want to thank everybody for their support, their kindness, their friendship over the last 3 years. In April this year, I saw an advert for a head teacher at Skolleniklet, which is the school I went to in Benbecula. And I looked at it and I thought, that's nice, I wonder who they get. And I never thought anything more of it. But later on in the year, when I came back in August, the advert came up again. And this time when I looked at it, there was this overwhelming feeling of, apply for that, Gordon. Yeah. You need to apply for this, Gordon. No way. I am settled, I am happy, I am safe, I am comfortable. You need to apply for this, Gordon. Because here's the thing. Obedience, when it's easy, is not obedience, it's agreement. Do this. Sounds like a great idea. I'll do it. Do this. I don't want to. That's when obedience is put to a test, isn't it? Obedience, when it's easy, is not obedience, it's agreement. Obedience, when it's difficult, is obedience. And it was difficult. There's so many things, there's so many reasons why I shouldn't have applied for that job. But I was wrestling with that because it's okay to wrestle with things. I mean, as long as in the end you agree. But it's okay to wrestle with things because in that time, you get why God wants you to do something. You start to understand it a wee bit more. Or if nothing else, in that argument and wrestling and thinking things through, you come to acceptance, which is just as good as agreement. I remember I was going up to Fockabars with Nathan in the van. We were driving up and I was talking through things with Nathan. And Nathan's wiser beyond his years, actually. And he said, Gordon, church will always be here. We're not going anywhere. If it doesn't work out, you can just come back. Cheers, Nathan. But actually, he was bang on because there was that reassurance of, he's right. Church isn't going anywhere. People aren't going anywhere. God's not going anywhere. You're okay. So I applied for the job because I thought it was God's will. And then straight after applying for the job, I had this massive wave of self-doubt. I applied for it, God's will. And then I was like, is it really God's will, Gordon? Or is it your ego taking over? Do you really just want to be a head teacher? Is that what it is? Maybe you're just thinking that's the right thing. And that's what I mean. Sometimes, see, people who look pretty put together, it's just a lie, because underneath it, they are just as self-conscious as you are. 100%. The most put-together person in the room has exactly the same self-doubts and recrimination as you. Everybody needs that reliance on God to take them out the other side of that. Because I was going through that fear of failure. Because I don't deal well with failure. And it's not something I experience very often. And when it happens, I take it particularly hard. And it sometimes can hold you back from applying for things or doing things because you're fear in case you fail at it. So I'd applied, and then I had that immediate wave of, what if I don't get it? Which was funny because at the same time I was thinking, I'm not even sure I want this. But it's a complex thing, isn't it? People are complex. But at the time, I'd gone up to a filling station event up in Port Soy. If anybody's not been to any of those, I thoroughly recommend it. It's a great time. And I was sitting in the hall in Port Soy, and all these doubts are going through my head. God, you got to give me something here. You got to give me something. I felt as though you told me to do it. I did it. Now you got to give me something. And the speaker at the time had said, "And I prophesy that rivers of fire will fall from the north of Scotland all the way to the south of Scotland." And at that time, I just had this vision of a map and the fire flowing from east to west. And that reassured me. And I began to relax and kind of fall into the plan a wee bit. And when you relax, when you're obedient, when you accept, then everything gets much easier. Because why would God plan something for you that wasn't right? So when you say, "Yep, God has planned this for me," and you step forward into it, you can lay your doubts aside. When you properly accept it, up until that point, you know where you think it might be God, it might be me, it might. When you finally accept, this is God saying this, then you can relax, because it's his plan, it's not yours. You're just going along with it. So, retrace the journey across to Uig, across to Loch Maddy in autumn 2016 this time, 13 years after leaving what I believed to be the last time. And I was appointed head teacher at Scolinaclet, and I'll take post after Christmas. There's a couple of things I want to show you, just because it's hard to imagine where I'm going and what I'm doing. So I'll run through a couple of pictures. Right? It's not like holidays now, so I will run through it. We're going to the first one, please, Ellen. So, for those of you who are wondering where it is, there it is. You see what I mean when I say it's fully west. Next one, please. And that's the school. Bigger than you think, actually. 300 kids because they joined up the islands. Next one, please. That's what the ferry terminal looks like at 4 o'clock in the morning when you arrive. Because you're one of those people who would rather be 4 hours early than 5 minutes late. Next, please, Aaron. That's the ferry going across. It was fine going across. Coming back, wasn't as fine. Yeah. And that's coming off the ferry. You start to see what the islands look like. That's the bustling metropolis of Loch Maddy. Next, please. And now you're starting to see why that island gets under your skin a wee bit. Next, please. Single track roads, lochs, sky. Next, please. That's the war memorial on Benbecula. Next, please. And that's a view from the war memorial. Next again. That's just a view from a standard roadside. You see, I'm stretching a bit here. But there's pictures, and you'll enjoy them whether you like it or not. And again, please. And again. Remember that picture, because that's going to become important in a minute. That picture of that house in the hills. Next, please. That was just Night of the Supermoon. Yeah? Next again. And that's a sign on the causeway as you go across to South Uist. Because when I said you relax into the plan and everything becomes easier, absolutely true. I'll give you some examples of this. And I'll also reference something about why things become easier. If you remember, those of you who are familiar with the Bible, when the priests were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, they arrived at the River Jordan, and the river was in fast flow. And God stopped the river so they could go across. But he did not stop the river until they stepped into it. If they had waited on the side of the river for the water to stop flowing, they'd have been in for a long wait. They had to show the faith in stepping in before God made things right. And when I relaxed into the plan and stepped in, here's a number of things that happened. The boss at school was really supportive. He let me go off a long weekend in November. At that point, I had a job and nothing else. Got off the ferry at 11 o'clock. Mom decided she's going to come and stay on the islands as well. Fine. at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I says, right, well, if you're going to stay, we'll need to go and see if we can get you a house and me a house and see what jobs look like. By 5 o'clock that afternoon, Mum had the keys of 3 properties to go and take her pick which one she liked. She'd spoke to the care home and they'd said there's a job coming up in a few weeks, keep an eye out for it. We filled out that application yesterday. And that house that's among the hills, that's the house that I'm going to go and stay in. God is good, isn't he? When I came back, though, sometimes just because you accept, it doesn't mean the doubts go away. Because you're human. You're human and you're frail and you carry that about with you. But when the doubts set in, you can always rely on God to give you what you need. And it came in the form of, and I'm finishing, don't worry. It came in the form of, I was up at the filling station again. And I was sitting there, I was like, okay, we're getting there. But I'm not sure about this because I'm starting to doubt my ability. And the visiting speaker had a team with him for prayer. And there was a young man who was on mission from the Outer Hebrides. I was like, you're having a laugh. So I went out for prayer for this young man because I thought, well, when God offers you a chance, you've got to take it. He said, there's an issue. God gives you the chance. Then it's on you to take it. So I went out for prayer and he said, Gordon, and then it stuck with me because it's actually really simple but really powerful. He says, Gordon, God prepares the called. He doesn't call the prepared. Whatever you need, God will fix it for you. He's not waiting on a finished article that he'll call, and then he's not waiting on perfect people to come to him. He's calling people, and then he'll work with them to give them what they need. And he said there was a hymn that he'd been singing that week, and he wanted it to become my anthem and carry it with me as I went across. And I'm just going to read out one part of it. And it says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And that, my friends, is both an ending and a beginning.
Wow.